day. Today. I'm actually going to do it today. That's right. Jesus before Pilate. The composure of Jesus Christ before Pilate. This is the day. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. First of all, I want to thank everybody who has written me concerning the announcement of the tragedy of my marriage. Thank you very much. I'm still answering letters that came in by the hundreds. I'm writing personally back to every one of you. Thank you for your love, your care, your concern, your prayers. I am still taking one day at a time. When I recover from this, the work is going to go out bigger, better, stronger, because I am weaker. When I'm weak, he's powerful. And I have resolved to go down in this eon swinging. We are near the end of the eon, and I feel like Michael Jordan in the fourth quarter. Give me the ball. Just give me the damn ball. So, yeah. Well, no, it's not inconsistent. That is humility. See, people are really confused about humility. A lot of people think that to be humble, you have to act humble on the outside. It's like, oh, it's nothing of myself. It's all Jesus. I can do nothing. And then inside, you know, you just know people are proud. I'm just the opposite. I sound brash on the outside, like, yeah, Michael Jordan, fourth quarter, give me the ball. But I exude confidence, but that confidence is of Christ. It's of Christ. It's like I am post-cross. I'm post to live as Christ. I am post the Spirit of God dwells in you, and I trust that Spirit. And so I can be myself without worrying about myself. You know, the greatest form of creature worship is self-occupation. Am I being humble enough? Am I coming across right? Am I sounding too much like it's all of me and not of God? That's ridiculous. That proves that it's all of you. If you have to ask those questions and waste precious time analyzing your motives, and it's like, oh, am I really a truly humble person? Then that's not humble. You just do it. I just do it. I don't analyze it. And I look behind me, and some people criticize that, and they say, you're sounding awful full of yourself, Zender. Well, no, I'm full of Christ. I'm just being myself. And so it's great to be able to be yourself, trusting that the Spirit of God makes his home in you, and then off you go to the races. So I'm going to finish this eon with you, teaching the Word of God and bringing you the truth of God. We're going to talk about the book of Revelation here coming up. I'm still going to do that because we're living in the days of Revelation. I got some insight into when the millennium is going to happen. No, you did hear right. I have insight into when the millennium, no, not the date, but the year. Yes, I think I know the year that the millennium is going to occur. I don't know. I guess I want to keep people in suspense. I know that's very mean of me. I've told a couple people, but I'm going to save it for the Revelation series. But, folks, it's exciting stuff. All right, Jesus before Pilate. I'm going to get this for sure because I've been promising this. We're actually going to do it. John 18, verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. I love that. My kingdom. This is a king who has a kingdom, but it's not of this world. Which world, Martin? The one where you envy celebrities? It's the world where everybody wants to watch O.J. Simpson going down the highway in his Ford Bronco, where everybody wants to be have their 15 minutes or their 5 minutes of fame on television? The world that envies movie stars, that envies sports heroes? That world. The world where your value, your worth is based on your bank account? Yeah, that's the world where Jesus' kingdom is not of. The world where people judge you by how nice your house is and how good your car is? That world? Yeah, that's the world where our kingdom isn't. That's the world where our Lord's kingdom wasn't. And if you look how he lived, he slept outside. He slept with his disciples. They woke up in the morning and somebody made coffee on the campfire. Scripture says that he had no place to lay his head. And he was a common man. He was from the crappiest town in Galilee, Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was a hole in the wall. Jesus was born in a barn. Once you realize all this stuff and really wrap your head around the fact that the Son of God was born in a barn, then you start to maybe change the way you look at this world. This world hated him. This world crucified him. I therefore have no friendship with this world. How could I be friends with the world, with a world that crucified the Son of God? How can I be friends with a world that crucified my Savior, that hated him, that put him to death? That's why I died to the world and the world died to me. That's what Paul said. World doesn't give a crap about me and I don't give a crap about the world. And you start to march to the beat of a different drummer. People ask me, Martin, in your book, The First Idiot in Heaven, how come you have the Apostle Paul? It looks like he's in welding glasses. He's staring out into space. This is because this man saw vision. This man was not of this world either. He was in it, but not of it. That's what we're going to learn about politics here, Jesus' behavior before Pilate. In the world, but not of it. Paul is seeing into the third heaven. He's seeing Christ. He has a revelation from the resurrected Christ, from the celestial world. Paul's given secrets from this other kingdom that's not of this world. And what a contrast. Jesus, the king of the world, comes down and he's standing before Pilate in the Praetorium in Jerusalem, in the Middle East, in the middle of a desert. If you take a satellite view and you start at the Praetorium and you lift the view and, you know, and you just project out towards space and you get a satellite view, they're in the middle of the desert. They're in the middle of nowhere. The Middle East, even now, Israel now is a small, insignificant country, and yet God has preserved it. It's in the desert. It's in the middle of nowhere. So here's Jesus. He's standing before one of the most powerful men in the world. Well, he was the representative of one of the most powerful men in the world, Caesar. Pontius Pilate was the procurator of Judea. And there he is, standing in judgment of the king of the universe. Things were reversed a little bit. How humble is that? You know, that's our place, to be that humble. A lot of people want to lord it over you, whether it's your boss at work or sometimes people close to you, family members or whatever. People want to make you feel like nothing, like crap. Well, you have to have this calm composure, and it's like, let them have their day. I'm not saying you take everything laying down, but let them have their day. Jesus is letting Pilate have his day. Pilate says, I have the power to release you and the power to crucify you. This is over in John 19, I think. And Jesus said, you don't have any power, yeah, 19:11, unless it was given you from above. So that should give you peace. You are following the marching orders of your Father, of your Savior, Jesus Christ, also in heaven. They're in heaven. Jesus Christ and God, well, God's everywhere, but Jesus Christ is in heaven. I'm happy for him. He returned to his homeland. So here he is before Pilate. He's been sent. He's an alien. He's an alien. He was sent to our planet from a different world. And he's standing before Pilate and he said, if my kingdom were of this world, it's not. But if it were of this world, my deputies would have contended lest I should be given up to the Jews. Yet now is my kingdom not hence. So apparently Jesus' deputies or his followers, his disciples, if his kingdom was of this world, then they would have fought for this world. They would have been in there punching and swinging, and they would have drawn their swords. That happened in the Garden of the Olives, the Mount of Olives. Peter drew his sword and tried to strike off the high priest's servant's ear. No, you're right, he didn't try to do it, he did do it. I guess the guy's name was Malchus, and Peter struck off his ear and Jesus put it back. Nice little parlor trick there. Excuse me, sir, you seem to have lost your ear. Allow me to restore it. Puts it right back on there. That's the sound of Jesus restoring Malchus's ear. It goes right back on. Or maybe it's more like, I don't know, but Jesus did it. And so Peter was contending. Peter was contending because, well, for a second there, he thought Jesus' kingdom was of this world, but it's not. And so Jesus doesn't contend with the world. He doesn't fight with it. Apparently, Peter learned his lesson, as did the rest of them, because Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, my deputies would have contended. But they're not contending. Therefore, if your kingdom is of this world, if you're infatuated with this third hunk of rock from the sun, then you will contend and you will lose your peace, especially politics now. You will lose your peace. Again, many people have lost their peace over the re-election of Barack Obama. It's tempting to lose your peace. And if your kingdom was of this world, you would contend. The word contend is from the Greek word agonizome. Agonizome, agonize. Agonize is the root word. You're agonizing. That's one thing to try to change politics. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. If you think that it's your call, it's your duty to help fix the world, you think I'm going to say forget it, right? No, I'm saying do it. Some people have a gift for organizing things, for running people, for heading a bureaucracy or something. Go for it. Just don't strive. Don't struggle. Don't contend. Don't agonize over it. If you're agonizing over it, then you're putting too much on it. Then your kingdom is of this world. When Jesus, he stood before Pilate, he testified to the truth, but he wasn't agonizing over it, and neither were his disciples. They weren't flailing their swords. They weren't armed and dangerous, coming up against Pilate and the Praetorium in tanks and shoulder-launched bazookas. They weren't doing it. I don't think the disciples really were savvy. I don't think they knew what was going on at this juncture. But I think that Jesus would have inspired them to rebel. I think that Jesus would have told them, okay, here come the high priests. They're going to take me. Peter, I want you stationed over there in the left quadrant. James and John, I want you on the right quadrant. Okay, when I give this signal, you guys draw your swords, and the rest of you bring up the rear with stones and sharp sticks, and we'll charge the Praetorium. But instead, he sent them home, and he said, it's over, it's up, the game's up, don't worry about it, my kingdom's not of this world. I think that Jesus apprised his disciples, his deputies, as the Concordant version says, ahead of time. He did it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Put down your sword. It's not time to fight. He who lives by the sword will die by the sword. Jesus' kingdom is not of the sword. It's a spiritual kingdom, and we are in the same position now. We are in the same position now. We're not going to overcome this world by fighting, by striving, by struggling, by agonizing. So if you can work in government and you have peace about it, great. If you can't do it, then get out of it. Our kingdom is not of this world. Our citizenship is inherent among the celestials, out of which we are awaiting a Savior also, who is coming to transform the bodies of our humiliation, fashion into a body like his body of glory. Rejoice in that truth with me today. I'll be back tomorrow. This is the Martin Center.